This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The minimal level of sabr is you just don't say something that is un-Islamic. As long as you've done that, you've demonstrated minimal sabr. But that's not the best level of sabr. There's a higher level. There's the highest level. And that's what we should strive to attain. Now, I want to be clear here. I need you all to pay attention. The beauty of our religion, so many beautiful things, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect has given us a spectrum such that those that are struggling, they have a minimal line they have to meet. And as long as they meet it, they're not sinful. It's okay. But those that want to go higher, here are the mechanisms to do that. So as long as you don't cross the red line, what was the red line? To say something un-Islamic, to do something un-Islamic. You are not sinful. But there are levels that are higher than just not being sinful. And the highest level of sabrun jameel, how do you attain that? You attain that by not becoming an object of pity for the creation. You don't intentionally aspire to obtain the pity of created beings. Intentionally. Unintentionally, it happens. You're crying, it's not okay. Intentionally. And you only try to obtain the pity of the one whose rahmah actually benefits you. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why when the children of Ya'qub began criticizing him, he snapped back at them. I'm not complaining to you. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ I'm complaining to Allah. It is a part of our theology to complain to Allah, not about Allah. That's kufr. We don't complain about Allah. We complain to Allah. What does it mean, complaining to Allah? It's exactly what it sounds like. Oh Allah, you see how difficult this is for me. Oh Allah, the situation is so difficult. Oh Allah, my heart is in pain. Oh Allah, I cannot bear with this unless you help me in this. This is complaining to Allah. Sabrun jameel means you minimize, if not eliminate, complaining to the people. And you show a dignified sense that you are trying your best to reach to Allah alone. Now again, that's the highest level. What did I say? Is it sinful to go below this? Yes or no? Is it sinful? No. So please understand. And if you're struggling to get to the perfection, no problem. As long as you don't cross the red line. The red line to say or do something haram. Not everybody can reach that level of perfection. But you should be aware of it. And you should know that it is a level of perfection to be as dignified as you can and to not get the pity of other people. Now, if they offer compassion and condolences, no problem. But you don't go intentionally wanting it. You see the difference, right? You try your best to not get the pity of the creation. Why? Because the pity of the creation is like their sadaqah. And you don't want their sadaqah. You want Allah to give you and not the creation. Now, if they offer you as a gift without you intending, that is the sunnah. When somebody passes away, you should offer condolences. You should make dua for them. But you don't yourself present yourself in a manner that you're getting their pity. Do you understand this point? It's a very technical point, but inshallah, it should be understood to all of you. So the next point we learned from the seerah, sabrun jameel. Our Prophet ﷺ never once complained about how the Quraysh treated him to other people. He never once went and said, oh, look what they're doing. They're so nasty to me. Never once. It wouldn't have been dignified for him, right? Wouldn't have been. Now, is it haram? No, it's not haram. It's not haram. It's, you can do that. But sabrun jameel. You go to the highest level and you complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. Another point we learn from the seerah. Another point we learn from the seerah is that you try your best after the calamity to regain and go back to as normal of a lifestyle as possible. You do not allow the calamity to stop you from your life itself. You don't dwell in the past and because of a past tragedy, continuously live in misery, live in pain. No, you sort of force yourself to move on and get back into the energy of life, the rhythm of your schedule. And this is, again, well demonstrated. That's why our Sharia has come and said it is not allowed to mourn anybody who is dead more than 3 days. What does it mean it's not allowed to mourn more than 3 days? So for 3 days, you are allowed to let the grief take time to heal. Take a break from work. Just, you know, not really care for yourself that much. And it's just difficult to live. You take cope. Okay, max 3 days. If it's less than that, no problem. But max 3 days. After 3 days are over, the Sharia requires you to try your best to snap out of it. Not your internal grief. That's not going to go away ever. But your external body has to get back with the program. Why? Because our Sharia is not a morbid Sharia that you live in the past. It's the Sharia that teaches you how to live your life in the future. You cannot allow a past tragedy to affect the entirety of the rest of your life. That's not what Allah wants. Now, you could be in pain and suffering. Our Prophet, as we know, loved Khadija immensely. And her death was extremely difficult. In fact, the year she died is called the year of sorrow. An entire year of sorrow. Because she died, Abu Talib died, the incident of Ta'if happened. And the Sahaba said, we didn't see him smile for an entire year after the death of Khadija. That was pain. An entire year he did not smile. Anas ibn Malik tells us, 5 years later, I never saw anybody smile more than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What's happened here? Anas never saw him in Mecca. Anas saw him in Medina. Anas ibn Malik, I never saw anybody smile more than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what it means. Okay, the pain is there, the grief is there, but you need to move on. When we talked about the incident of the death of Ja'far, the brother or the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Ja'far passed away, his wife Asma bint Umays, she married Ja'far. Ja'far died. She married Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr died. She married Ali. So she was married to three people of Jannah, one after the other, subhanAllah. And she had children from all of them. Can you imagine? So there are half-brothers of Ja'far and Ali and Abu Bakr, subhanAllah. All of this from Asma bint Umays. So, and I have a whole biography about Asma, you can listen to her. So Asma, she was at the time a young lady. Ja'far passes away. She's in her mid-20s. And she could not cope with his loss. And she began wailing because she wasn't accustomed to not wailing, even though it was not allowed. And our Prophet ﷺ attempted to stop the wailing via the servants, but they did not succeed. So on the third day, the Prophet ﷺ visited the house of Asma. 3 days he gave her to calm down, to let her grief come to terms. And then he said, from now on, there shall be no wailing for my brother Ja'far. Then he called the children of Ja'far. And they were neglected completely. Disheveled, dirty. They hadn't taken a bath, whatnot. Because for 3 days, they're mourning. And he called for a barber and cut their hair. And he gave them new clothes. And he arranged for food to be given to them. I want you to think about why he would do this when they've just become orphans. Give them a haircut? They've just lost a father, and he comes over with basically the equivalent of gifts. Why? Because our religion teaches us you don't dwell in the past. Whatever it is, whatever tragedy happens, you need to move on, collect your wits, and continue with life. أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا الرب تعود إلى رضا ربي.